You're listening to the Meeting Midway podcast, a podcast of Midway United Methodist Church in Alpharetta, Georgia, featuring Pastor Jenny Andoni and Pastor Brad Biggerstaff. Over the course of the podcast, we'll hear how the church relates to the real-world issues that matter to you and how God loves us all. And now, let's meet Midway.
Speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power, your name is healing. Over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing. Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the street, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Heart heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak, Jesus.
Good morning, church family. It's so great to see each and every one of you here this morning. It's a beautiful day. This Memorial weekend, I'm back out here in Roswell at the Faces of War Memorial. We'll have a special Memorial Day prayer later in the service led by our very own Mary Williams. She will be praying for all of those that have sacrificed so much for us. Well, today, may we now welcome one another down in the chat and tell somebody that it's so great to see them this Sunday.
Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we've gathered here to praise your name, to worship you. Lord, we are thirsty. We're thirsty for your spirit. We're thirsty for you. We're thirsty for a longing to draw closer to you, to know you. There's no greater gift, Lord. And we ask you to come stir our hearts for our affections for you, Lord. We love you, and it's in your Son's name we pray all this. Amen.
Since 1997, here on the grounds of the Faces of War Memorial, Memorial Day has been commemorated. I love watching when all those service hymns are played and the little soldiers and sailors who are now in their 90s barely was able to walk to their seats, stand at attention when they hear their service hymn. It does your heart good. Here, we commemorate those who gave everything so that we could be free. I found out something very interesting about the little girl. Years ago, I was a counselor for the youth here at our church, and in my group was a little girl named Caitlin. I met Caitlin's grandfather, and he said, "Do you know that my granddaughter is the model for the Faces of War little girl?" This made this memorial mean so much more to me than it ever meant before. Knowing real people, not just marble faces, stones, metal, but real people. It's the time in our worship service where we offer our prayers to God. In the comment section, please put your prayer requests, and they will be given to the intercessory prayer team who will pray over you for the week. In addition, look at others' prayer requests that are in there, and you too pray for them. Please join us in prayer. Heavenly Father, your love and grace surround us every day. We see your handiwork in the beauty around us and on the faces of those we love. This Memorial Day weekend, we remember and give thanks for all who served our country. We give thanks for their sacrifices, for their acts of courage. We remember and give thanks for all who gave a full measure of devotion so that we could be a free nation. We also give thanks for the sacrifices of their families who remained at home while they served. We pray for the recovery of those who came home wounded in body and spirit. Wrap them in your healing touch. We are thankful for those that care for them. Show us how we can support them. We pray for families and friends and all who grieve for loved ones who have died. May they feel the warmth of your comfort and love as they grieve. May we continue to support them in their grief with our love, compassion, and support. May the day soon come when swords are beaten into plowshares, war is studied no more, and all peoples and your world know peace. May we work for that day. We pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And now we come to the part of our service where we give of our tithes and offerings. Today, may we give to the good God who gives so much to us. Hear the word of God coming from 1 Peter chapter 4 and 5, selected verses. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same intention. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has finished with sin, so as to live for the rest of your earthly life no longer by human desires, but by the will of God. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the same Spirit of God, is resting upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or thief, a criminal, or even as a mischief maker. Yet if any of you suffers as a Christian, do not consider it a disgrace, but glorify God because you bear his name. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt each of you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because God cares for you. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith, for you know that you are brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the grace of God, who has called you to his eternal glory, will restore himself, support you, strengthen you, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. This morning, or really this evening, I'm back out in Roswell. This Saturday night, right before Sunday morning. It's funny to me, right as I was reading that scripture, it actually just so happened to rain. It's raining right now, actually, right back here. For those who didn't know, Pastor Jenny is back down in Florida, tending to Herzen's family. As many of you know, that Herzen's mother passed away a few weeks ago. This passage that I just read moments ago struck me to a core this week, was something that I have struggled with all week. This kind of moment right here is actually welcoming you into the intimate moment that sometimes strikes us as pastors, as preachers. An intimate moment where that evening before we are to gear up to preach to you, we're sometimes at a loss for what exactly we should say. The passage that we read talks a lot about suffering. Peter's writing to a people who are experiencing suffering. Something that I think we all know so well during this time of pandemic. It's even struck me as a pastor that sometimes there's so much going on in the week with the weight of the world, all the anxiety that can hit us, that I too am at a loss of words, that I too experience suffering. This morning, you will hear a sermon. I'm kind of giving you a small tidbit of a sermon here, but you will hear another sermon coming from our bishop. This today is the seventh Sunday of Easter, the last Sunday right before Pentecost, the birthday of the church where we celebrate who we are. But on this seventh Sunday of Easter, we encounter a text that brings us back to Easter, that in fact brings us back to Holy Week, where we learn and encounter Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and then ultimately resurrection on Sunday. Our passage talks about casting our anxieties on the Lord. And this evening, as it's raining, as we're coming to the time right before Sunday morning, I'm offering you the good news that our text offers us. That while we are suffering, we know too that Christ suffered. There is some nuance within that. Nuance that's hard to strike a word to. But I believe our bishop does here in a moment. She talks about a cocoon. A cocoon that I feel present in, and that I'm sure you feel present in yourself. So let us now hear the good news coming from our bishop as she preached a word on Easter Sunday.
Hello, people called Methodists of North Georgia. I'm Sue Hoppert Johnson, Bishop of the North Georgia area. And I'm reflecting on Holy Week, on Good Friday. Seems like we've had a whole month of Good Friday events. It is a difficult time, a strange time, when there's a lot to lament. We lament loss of our freedom. We lament our ability to be with our loved ones, to gather, especially on Easter Sunday, where we're used to joyously gathering. We lament the devastation of the economy, the jobs that have been lost, the real uncertainty as to whether a paycheck will come again or not in the near future, the real fear that rent won't be paid, that life has been disrupted in ways that we can't gather back. There's consternation in the church. How are we the church if we can't gather? How do we do worship? How do we stay connected? How do we lean into connection? That's the heart of United Methodism, our connection. How do we do that? We know a lot about Good Friday this year. I think back to the disciples who had just lost their master, who had seen him tortured and killed by the authorities, who found themselves enemies of the state, who were in the middle of agony, an agonizing unknown future. We identify with that this year. Future is hazy. We aren't quite sure if things will ever be back to normal. We aren't even sure what normal is. No, we're well acquainted with Good Friday. I find myself thinking, though, over the past couple years, I've really been focused on Holy Saturday. To me, that's a fascinating time, the day when resurrection took place, when the power of the resurrection met death head on in the tomb of Jesus. And he was resurrected. That something happened on that Holy Saturday, the transformation from death to life, from despair to hope. I think about Holy Saturday a lot. We need that resurrection power. I feel like there is a strange transformation happening. We're questioning what is of importance in our lives. We're looking and having to ask questions and think about things in ways that we haven't thought about in a long time. We're forced into a time of reflection, a time of not doing our normal routine. Everything seems alien. It's a Holy Saturday kind of time. But my message for you on this Easter Sunday, unlike all Easters before, is to sit in the Holy Saturday. To lament, to grieve. There's a lot of loss. There's a lot of uncertainty. The loss of loved ones, the prospect of loved ones being ill, those are hard things. So I invite you to lament. But I invite you to take time and space for Holy Saturday to work. When you let the Holy Spirit permeate deep within you, when you lay your heart out before God and when you ask for a new insight. Glennon Doyle is a writer and a blogger, and she told a great story. Somebody sent it to me randomly, and I thought about it. She tells a story of her sister. Her sister was in the middle of an unexpected and horrible divorce. And so Glennon invited her sister to come live in her basement, and her sister did that for a year. She came, and every night after work, she would come home and eat a little something and go down to her basement room, and Glennon would go down to check on her, and she would hear her sobbing. The door was shut, but she'd hear her sobbing. And she didn't want to bother her because she knew that there was something powerful happening in that time. So she sat outside the door and was there every night. That was her routine. And after a year, her sister just came out, moved out, quit her job as a corporate lawyer, moved to Rwanda, and started defending the defenseless in Rwanda, and met a lovely man, and had a wonderful family. And Glennon says, I don't know what happened in that room, but I know I was sitting outside, and I was there if she needed me, and my presence was important. But I knew that what was going on in there was powerful. I've probably added a few words because I think about that theologically. I know exactly what's going on. Like Jesus's tomb, that room was a place of transformation for her sister, where resurrection power came in and met death and grief and loss, where resurrection power came in and recreated, transformed her sister. That's the power of Jesus. That's what we celebrate on Easter. That nothing, no devastation is too big. Even death, he has triumphed over. And so I think about that, and I invite you to create time and space in your own Holy Saturdays for the Holy Spirit to come and work. I've heard both Cynthia Fierro Harvey, who's the bishop in Louisiana, and others talk about how they were amazed at the transformation of a caterpillar into a butterfly. You know, we think that there's just something, we don't exactly know what happens in that cocoon, but we think that it's just kind of morphed into that. But what she pointed out and what others had pointed out is it is totally destroyed. The caterpillar just becomes gelatinous sludge. It becomes nothing and is remade into a butterfly. That's why the butterfly is the symbol of resurrection, the symbol of Easter. God has some work to do, I think, in your cocoons, in your Holy Saturday tombs, where you confront the loss, you confront the fear, you lament, you face life head on, and you lay it all out before God, and the miracle of resurrection power is God will put it together in a new way. He will bring life in the midst of death. He will bring resurrection out of the horrors that we have faced. So church and individuals and groups, let's see what God is doing. Let's see what transformation is occurring. Let's see after our time, our Holy Saturday time, how we will view the future. I think we'll have new ideas of what's important in our lives, in what's important in our work, and in what's important in the church. May this be a time of great transformation to you. As you're locked away, separated, redefining lots of your lives, trust that the message of Easter Sunday is that resurrection power is present, that Jesus is present in the midst. He will be with you in that tomb, in that cocoon, in that Holy Saturday vestibule. and he will make you new. It has happened to countless Christians through the ages. And we in the church vow that we will sit outside the door and be present for you. If you need us, call us. If you need a mental health professional, call. If you need a pastor, call. If you need a good friend, call. We are sitting outside the door, but we know that only Jesus can do this work. And we celebrate it. And we have seen it time and time again in the history of the church. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. And I hope you too, out of this time of death and isolation, will rise too. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
thank you for being with us this Sunday morning. As we grapple and struggle with what we are to do as a church going into the future within this pandemic, may we take the bishop's word to heart. I thank her for the hard work her and the cabinet have been putting together to help us as a church, as a connection, know what to do next. We'll have a survey coming out very soon, and we're going to ask you about what you think that you will be able to participate in as a church going forward. It'll help us understand our next step within this pandemic, and we are grateful for that. May you now receive this benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face and his countenance to shine upon you. And right here, right now, may he give you peace. Amen.
You've been listening to the Meeting Midway podcast from Midway United Methodist Church. The doors to our community are open to all, and we invite guests to join us at our services on Sunday. We have a traditional worship service at 8:30 a.m. in our historic chapel, an acoustic worship service at 9:45 a.m. in our historic chapel, and a contemporary service at 11 a.m. in our modern sanctuary. For more information, check us out online at midwayumc.org. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you soon.